Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back, Through the Word, Numbers 33. And today we take a look back at the long and winding road behind us. Today we review as Moses records the journey thus far, stop by stop. Remember, Numbers is a road trip, and chapter 33 is the slideshow. So what did we learn from the past? When you get caught up looking at old photos, the places you lived, the people you knew, the great road trip we call life, what do you take with you? Let's start in at verse 1. Here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. This is their journey by stages. What follows in the chapter is not an exciting story, nor is it a great bit of wisdom or insight on God. It is, very simply, a journey. As you read it, it's a long list of stops along the way, and it covers the whole trip from Exodus to Numbers 32. And speaking of road trips, I almost forgot to tell you that we finished ours, 27 states in 27 days, plus Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July. It was pretty epic, a lot of miles and a lot of new friends, from Frisco to McDonough to Boston to Bangor to New Bethlehem to Corydon to the Grand Lake of the Cherokees, and a heart full of memories my family will share for a lifetime. Now, for most of you, those places are just a bunch of names. So is Numbers 33. It's a lot of places you haven't been. But for the Israelites, they were memories. More than that, they were lessons learned. They were reminders of God's faithfulness. So let's read a few in verse 3. The Israelites set out from Ramses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover. They marched out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians, who were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, for the Lord had brought judgment on their gods. The Israelites left Ramses and camped at Succoth. They left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. And the list goes on and on. For Moses, who was writing these down, and who was also at the end of his road trip, every stop was a story. It is a strange experience walking through your past. I myself am prone to nostalgia. As you read through Numbers 33, consider your own journey, particularly the road of following God. Now, as Moses looks back over the Israelites' journey, it's a chance for us to remember some of the lessons they learned along the way. The memories of the road behind would be full of impossible situations and of God's rescue again and again. They were caught at Pi-Hahiroth between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, but in verse 8, they left Pi-Hahiroth and passed through the sea into the desert. So the Red Sea was crossed, a picture of baptism for us, dunked down then brought up into a new life. God brought them into the desert for a year of training, learning to follow God and to trust Him for the road ahead. At Marah, the bitter water was turned sweet. At Rephidim, there was no water for the people to drink, but the Lord provided. From water to manna, stop after stop, trial after trial, the Lord was faithful. That first year of training finished up in verse 36 in Kadesh, all the way to the edge of the Promised Land, and they just couldn't trust God to lead them in. And then, 38 years are hidden in a gap between verse 36 and 37. It wasn't training anymore, it was waiting for a generation to pass. No lessons learned, and nothing recorded here. For us, it's a picture of the incomplete Christian life, refusing the leading of the Holy Spirit, refusing the call to enter into spiritual battle, and not much worth recording. Then after the long wait, verse 38, at the Lord's command, Aaron the priest went up Mount Hor, where he died. So the end of the era is marked with the death of Aaron. Interesting how time is marked this way sometimes. I was reading this very chapter a few years back, on the same day that I was preparing for my father's memorial service. I didn't do it on purpose, just came up in my reading plan that day. I spent the day in the same old house where I grew up, piecing together pictures from his youth to my youth, trying to sum up a lifetime on a single page. Aaron was a patriarch to the people, and his death marked a change in the journey. And in verse 48, they finally come to the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, the entry point God chose for the Promised Land, ready for a second water crossing perhaps a picture of a second baptism. So that's Israel's journey and a little bit of mine. But what about you? What are the stops on your journey? Have you seen the faithfulness of God? Did he get you through your past? And most importantly, will you trust him to lead your future? And that is exactly how the chapter ends, with a look to the future in verse 51. When you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy all their carved images and their cast idols, and demolish all their high places. Take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. So God renews the calling. I gave you this land, take possession of it. Destroy the idols and demolish the high places. Now there's a real key here to understanding all that's ahead. The idols and the high places. The people of the land were devoted to wickedness, and it was spiritual. An idol is something that replaces God, and the carved image was just a reminder of who your real God is. The high places were those places to gather for sin, worship the idols, and just do wrong. It may look different today, but we still have our idols. Every replacement for God, from money to pleasure, from power to porn, from drug addictions to media addictions. And we have our high places, those gatherings where bad happens. Oh, we have the music and the friends there to give us a respectable excuse, but when sin is the center, it's a high place, in more ways than one. So God tells the Israelites to go hulk on the idols, just smash. If you don't get rid of it all, it will become like barbs in your eyes and thorns in your side, and you will eventually be just like them. It sounds harsh, but the rest of the Old Testament will prove God right. Israel did not smash, and the people called to be God's people looked as bad as the world. For us, it's a picture of sanctification. Clear out the idols in your heart and all the trappings in your life. It's not a call to judgmental legalism. It's a call to holiness, to pure devotion to one true God. Read Numbers 33. Take a good look at the long and winding road behind you and set your sights on what God has ahead of you. From glory to greater glory. Hey everybody, thanks for sticking around. I kept you here to let you know a couple things about how the ministry of Through the Word works. You probably noticed that it's a free app with free content and no ads. So you may wonder how we do that. Apps are not cheap, and good content takes a lot of work. Well, listeners donate, and they make this possible. People who believe in the ministry are part of the ministry. It's pretty amazing, really. There's no big corporation or megachurch that makes this happen. We are 100% listener-supported. For me personally, Through the Word is a labor of love, and I'm so encouraged by every person who gives up hard-earned money to help us reach more. I'll be honest, money and ministry are delicate subjects, and I am not a savvy fundraiser. So forgive me if I do this the wrong way. I will not tell you that if you give, God will make it rain money over your house. There's some dangerous theology in there. I will say that there's an awesome passage in 2 Corinthians 9 that describes how giving to ministry knits our hearts together. As one gives, another's encouraged, and everyone thanks God together. If you are not a donor, this is not a guilt trip. Through the Word is genuinely free. If you do give, thank you. You rock. If you are a careful giver and you want more information, awesome. I want you to know that Through the Word is effective ministry. We had over 700,000 audio guide listens last year and enabled over 9 million minutes of active Bible engagement. That means every $20 donation provided over 9,000 minutes. That's not bad. And our numbers are going up. Today we reach thousands. We believe God has called us to reach millions, and with his help, we'll get there. So, to get more info, go to throughtheword.org and click the donate button for details. There's two basic ways to give. Monthly support is recommended at $20 a month. We have donors from $5 on up to $100 a month, and you are all awesome. Or you can sponsor a chapter for $150. That's how we create new audio guides. The Book of Numbers was possible because people gave. Thank you, thank you. Moving forward, we have several new books on the schedule, and only one short book has a sponsor. If you can help, we could use it. Thanks everyone for your time, and we'll see you back here as we continue the journey through the Word.